Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
A legendary outdoor store in Cleveland, Mississippi is selling everything in a five-day online-only auction. Vintage fishing and hunting gear, archery, muzzleloaders, jewelry, toys, signs, and more. Bidding starts Friday, July 24th at 9 a.m. Shop now at YNLauction.com.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Here we go, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Bob Getty, Dima Mixon. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here. Cloudy afternoon here at Oak Grove, Mississippi. Kind of interfering with my man's golf plans this afternoon. Can't help you there, Dima. No. Wish I could.
I don't know. You know, Augusta's always open.
Oh, yeah. You should go to shoot 18 real quick over there. Dickie's Barbecue Pit sponsoring the opening segment of our show today. It's a great catering location here in Hattiesburg. Dickie's does a wonderful job catering any event, whether it be for your church or your home or your business or maybe this weekend's ball games out at the Pete. Dickie's does a really, really good job, and we sure thank them for everything they do. All right, Golden Eagles lose last night to Ole Miss up in Pearl by a score of 10-3. Kind of a familiar pattern in a sense. Ole Miss scores 5 runs in the third, 4 runs in the sixth. Other than that, kind of quiet at the plate. The Golden Eagle pitching staff does a good job overall, I think, holding them down other than those 2 innings. USM has 8 hits. First 4 batters, though, struggled 1-for-16 last night, and that's a tough thing to overcome when you're playing a team. The quality of Ole Miss. Travis Creel joins us every Wednesday, and Coach, I know this is as frustrating for you as it is us. Can you put your finger on what continues to be plaguing the team offensively?
I just think as a team right now, we're just not playing very complimentary. The games we swing it well. Our bullpen hasn't been great, and the games we pitch great. Seems like we can't get the big knock. So going through it right now. Got to find a way to get out of it.
Coach, this is a general question, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but should Southern Miss fans be worried, or is this something that all teams go through and you just have to work your way out of it?
Well, I think all teams go through it. I think we're going through it a little longer than we'd like to. But at the end of the day, everything we want to accomplish and
still in front of you.
Yeah, still in front of you. I mean, we're one of very few teams in the country with 25 wins, so it's just a unique situation where, the first 20 games of the year were so good and the last, 17 or 18, whatever it is, haven't been good. So, again, just got to find a way to get that spark, get that mojo back, that we had those first 20.
How do you go about doing that as a coach? Because I've had coaches in a variety of sports tell me that, we're doing everything the same. My team is playing really good here, but not playing good there, and I can't put my finger on it. Is that? I guess that's true in every sport, correct?
Yeah, I think the players definitely got to take the bull by the horns as well. But again, you just got to stay positive. You got to have energy. You got to have enthusiasm because nothing good is accomplished without energy and enthusiasm. So. I have no doubt that the talent is in this locker room as well. So, again, you just kind of this game will humble you. It'll punch you in the face, and it's all about how you respond.
Travis, just curious, do you think there was a moment in the season where something just kind of flipped with this team, or do you think maybe the early season success maybe shielded some of the inefficiencies on the team?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it shielded the inefficiencies. I think – everything was rolling. We were in cruise control and finding a way to win pretty much every game we played. And then, then we got popped in the mouth a couple times. It's all about how you respond when you get popped in the mouth. And so far, we haven't responded well. But no, I don't think it's one game or one play that kind of dictated this. It's more just, I think there was probably a 2-week stretch where. we lost some close games that we've been winning all year, and maybe some confidence or some doubt steeped in. I think every team goes through this at some point. I was talking to Ole Miss coaches yesterday. They were in this position 2 or 3 weeks ago. They lost 4 straight and got swept at home, or got swept against Mississippi State. And you just got to find a way to get the mojo back. And, you know, this happened to us before. We've gone through storms every year. You just got to find a way to get out of it. And I think that starts with in-house leadership, which I think we have plenty of good leaders on this team. And, it's all about getting hot at the right time. You know, last year around this time is when we really got on the heater. And hopefully that, you know, that trend continues.
We were talking to Oz on Monday, and he talked about the lineup kind of being where you had two positions where you're not really getting any production out of. So he feels the team's strategy against your guys' lineup is to kind of pitch around those first 4 guys and let the rest of the lineup beat you. Do you feel the same?
Well, I think our first 7 guys are giving you pretty good at bats. Obviously, the DH has been a revolving door of not so good this year. And then the catcher position as well. We have 2 talented guys who just haven't quite done it. It's a 7-man lineup right now. But I do think there's capability for more. You know, Gray Eubanks definitely shown flashes, 2 hits yesterday. We know what Tucker Stockman has done in the past. Odom's given us good at bats lately. So, again, yeah, I mean, obviously, that's been how it's been for us. It's been, you know, those top 7 guys, if they don't do it, you know, we're in trouble. And like Bob said, obviously our first 4 didn't have a ton of hits last night. So when that happens, you're in trouble.
Travis, put us inside to the degree you can, put us inside the post-game meeting last night, the ride home. I mean, what is the message to these kids? Because like you say, there's a lot of baseball in front of them, and they still have more than enough time to get on a tear. Dima reminded me right before the show that the RPI remains very good. So, I heard you say the other night in a post-game deal that nobody's going to feel sorry for you when things aren't going well. I think that's 1,000% correct. What is the message to your players right now?
Just to keep playing hard and keep playing with energy and keep working because, again, we think the talent's here. And believe me, Oz is going in every direction with the team, and I've obviously gone every direction with the hitters, whether it's, you know, chewing their tail or lifting them up. And at some point, you know, I think Oz's big message is they got to take the reins of this thing. It seems like every year, you know, Oz is big on words. He's big on talking to the team. We talk to him every day, try to inspire, try to motivate. And every year at some point, you know, he just kind of steps away and just lets them have it. And it needs to be now. You know, it needs to be their time to just kind of take the reins and you know, play the way they know they can play.
You know, you said you've gone through storms like this every single year, and it's true that generally around this time, you know, you guys would rattle off those, whatever they are, 15 to 20 game win streaks. What about this time do you feel that maybe feels a little bit different than that? Because personally, to me, it just feels different than the past few seasons.
Well, I think it feels different because our little struggle has gone along a little bit longer than it has in the past. And usually it's, a slow start and then we get going a little bit and then we get hot. And this year it was, you know, hot from the start and now we're in a lull. So I think that's probably the biggest difference feeling wise is, this lull usually, when it does happen, and it hasn't happened every year, but it's usually more at the start instead of more in the middle of the year. But yeah, other than that, you know, I think we've had, you know, I remember in 21 we were 3-4 or 3-5 or something like that, and in 23 we were 22-16. You can go on and on with stories like this. And in baseball, you're going to go through these things, and you just, like I said, you know, I sound like a broken record, but you just got to find a way. You got to find a way to get out of this and get their mojo back.
Hey, we may run out of time before you finish this answer, but real quick, there was a lot of a lot of upset people last night, both Southern Miss and Ole Miss fans. That, and here was the message: we've got a top 25 showdown in our state with 2 of our universities, and nobody can watch the game because it's not being streamed. And I'm not asking you to comment on the fact that they didn't stream the game, but overall, Oz has expressed to us that he would prefer to play a home and home and not go to Jackson when the contract ends. Where do you stand on that, Coach Creel?
Bob, I better leave that one alone.
Okay.
Let Oz have the opinion on that one.
Okay, I got you. Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you can understand how people were frustrated that they couldn't see the game last night, right? Two top 25 teams. Yeah.
I didn't even realize it until I was driving. I was actually recruiting when I realized it wasn't on ESPN Plus. That was a shock.
Yeah. No, it was. And as I say, that came from both fan bases. Everybody wanted to see you guys play last night. And everybody's proud of their baseball programs in Mississippi, and rightfully so. And they want to see their guys when they're on the field, whether they're wearing black and gold or red and blue. I'm sure you agree with
that.
No doubt.
Right? No, 100%, for sure.
Coach, we really appreciate you coming on. We know talking to us today is probably not something you really look forward to, but you're always with us on Wednesday, and we'll always be with you, and we thank you very much, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, Travis Creel, everybody. Let's just let him have a break from us this morning. What do you think?
Who knows?
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, need tires for your car or your truck? Need work on your car or your truck? You can get it all at the same place. That's DBAT on DBAT. How about Eagle Tire West? You're not going to buy any tires at DBAT, but you will at Eagle Tire West. That's where former Southern Miss baseball player Matt Warren invites you to see him and his staff for Goodyear products. Full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. They're family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. Before we move on, let me pass something along. If you've never seen the country artist Marty Stewart, you've really missed something. He is a great, great, great musician, and he has a wonderful band. They're going to be performing next weekend at the Sanger Theater here in Hattiesburg, and we have a wonderful Eagle Hour listener who has two tickets to that concert but is going to be unable to come to Hattiesburg, and he wants to give those away to two Eagle Hour listeners that may enjoy the music of Marty Stewart. I've actually seen him two or three times. I'm not a big country fan, Dima, but Marty Stewart is clearly my favorite country singer. He is really, really talented. So if you would like those tickets, you can send a text message to 601-906-5862. Or you can notify us on our Facebook page, and we're happy to connect you with our listener who wants to provide you with the tickets, and that's how Eagle Hour listeners take care of each other, Dima Mixon. All right, so we just got through interviewing Travis Creel, and you just can't beat coaches over the head with the same questions over and over and over, and I think what he said, though, is correct, that you reach a point in the season where the leadership of your team has to come from your roster. Is that correct, Dima?
No doubt. No doubt about it. And one thing I've been seeing from this team over the past, over since really this started, is the body language of the team just hasn't been the same as the start. And that, to me, is always a red flag, you know, a lot of frustration. And so I think at this point, Oz and these coaches are kind of saying, you know, who's going to step up? Who's the leader that's going to step up and right this ship? And, you know, it starts from the Matthew Russos. It starts from the Ben Higdons. It starts from, you know, those players on the offensive side and then in the bullpen. It starts with Colby Allen. I mean, he's the leader of that pen. He's the leader. So, and so those guys need to step up and say, listen, guys, we're not being asked to win 10-1 each night. We just need to go play some baseball. Just go have fun again is what I would challenge these guys to do. Like, stop worrying about being uptight, getting up into leads. You know, just go play baseball. They have the talent to beat anybody they play. We know that. They started the year 15-2, and they're at 12 losses right now, and 7 of those are in conference. I mean, we know they have the talent to win these games they're losing. So it's just about them going to get together. And I think for the coaching staff, at this point, you kind of just throwing up your hands going, listen, there's nothing else we can say, you know, and these kids have got to go do it. And that's important to note for sure as they head into a really tough matchup this weekend against Texas State in a big standings-wise game, 3 games for both those squads.
You can flush all this frustration by just starting to play well on the weekends again and beat your upcoming opponents 2 out of 3 games. There's even margins to lose a game each weekend, but then you get toward the end, and I don't know, Dima, it seems to me they need to sweep a couple of 3 of these last, 5, 6
series? 5 series, yeah, 5 series. Yeah, you probably need 2 or 3 sweeps to feel good about a host for sure. But if you're talking,
is that still a possibility, you think?
Yeah, definitely. With their resume and RPI for sure. I think D1 Baseball had them at the 18th seed this weekend, so that's just 2 spots off. So everything's still in front of them to do what they want to do. You know, but I mean, if they continue on the trajectory where they are now, then they're definitely not hosting.
So let me ask you about D1, because I found something very interesting yesterday evening. I saw the D1 projection, and to my shock, it did not have a regional in the state of Mississippi. Now, I just cannot.
Oxford had one.
Oxford?
I believe so.
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
No, I think they had Ole Miss going to USC.
Well, that's not happening.
Yeah, and they had Mississippi State going somewhere, I forget, on the East Coast.
Kansas. They were going to Kansas.
Kansas and Southern Miss going to Auburn.
Yes.
I don't see that. I do not believe for 1 second that one of the 3 schools minimum is not going to get a region.
Well, and we're about to talk to stats expert Patrick McGee here in a minute, and he kind of is going to give us a weekly kind of update on RPI and kind of where he puts the host. Man, this guy gets it right every single time.
How does he do it?
I don't know. We're about to talk to him, and we're going to have to ask him because last year he, you know, field of 64. I think he was like 63 of 64 teams correct, which is just ridiculous. So, but what I do think about Mississippi State is they've beaten up on a lot of subpar teams. Their top 10, top 25 record is not that great, not to mention they've gotten swept twice at home in a row. And so that is something that for them is in a real detrimental case to host a regional. And then in Ole Miss, I think they're going to host for sure. I mean, they're on the right track. They got a lot of SEC wins, you know, and really in that league, you really only need about 10, 11, 12 SEC wins, and you should be fine. So personally, I think Ole Miss will host. State is probably on that bubble, and Southern Miss is definitely on that bubble at this juncture.
Yeah. Here's that projection. It came out 19 hours ago. The Lawrence, Kansas Regional. Kansas, the number 1 seed. State, the number 2. North Carolina State and Oral Roberts. I can't imagine this next one. The Los Angeles USC Regional. USC, number 1. Ole Miss, 2. California Baptist, 3. And Wright State, 4. And then they have Southern Miss at Auburn as the number 2 seed with TCU and St. Joseph's in that lineup. I have a lot of respect for D1. I've really gained a lot of respect since Mark Etheridge is connected with us. But I don't envision a scenario where none of the 3 schools has a host.
Yes, and I listen to the Nerdcast, which is what they do, the podcast, to explain their reasoning between all that. All 3 of those Mississippi teams were like 17, 18, 19, like in a row. Yeah. So they were just off the hosting discussion. Yeah. It's just the RPI and conference records right now that all 3 of them, you know, got bumped down. So that's definitely not their final projections. But yeah, I'd be fine with State and Kansas and Southern Miss and Auburn. Ole Miss in Los Angeles really makes no sense to me. I mean, that, I know they can't go to an SEC host, but I just couldn't imagine the committee sending them out west. I mean, that would just be there's got to be another place for them to be in, say, in Chapel Hill or something like that, you know, that's a little bit closer. Correct. But obviously, they're an SEC school, and you're going to have a lot of SEC hosts, so that's what happens. Yeah,
six, I think I saw in that regional. Well, the last time Southern Miss went to Auburn, it turned out real well.
Yeah, it did. Sure, Bob, it did. I guess it did when Tanner Hall was on the mound. Yeah, that worked out really good.
That helped a little.
Just a bit.
Just a little bit.
Dustin Dickerson hitting 400-foot moonshots to left field.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
helped a little bit, too.
He had a little impact on
Danny Lynch, that kind of helped.
He had a little impact.
Scott Barry's farewell season, that one helped a good bit.
That Lynch, I mean, that Dickerson kid turned out pretty good.
Yeah, he was decent.
He's decent. I don't think I've ever heard that description of Dustin Dickerson. He's decent.
Man, he had to have been juicing his bat in that last season.
I don't know what happened. I do remember when the Tennessee coach won the Super Regional down here. It was a crazy quote when he said, "Well, in one way, I'm sad we lost because I don't get to watch Dustin Dickerson play anymore."
Really?
So, yeah, but quite a compliment. Anyway, we'll see. Everything's still in front of them, Dima.
Well, it's got to start this weekend, Bob. And kind of like I was saying yesterday with you and Daniel, I know everybody was talking about Ole Miss, but I really don't care what happened last night. I really don't. They've got to win this weekend. You've got to find a way to win this weekend. And that just starts maybe a little bit of confidence for them. They've lost three straight. I mean, they've lost three games
first
in a row.
First time this year, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think losing to Ole Miss was a surprise because you've beat them once this year.
But I think this weekend is kind of like the fork in the road. Like, what team are you going to be? If they lose this series this weekend, I don't really see them recovering from
this. Well, I agree. And it's got to start Friday night when you got your best guy on the mound.
Sure.
You can't slip up Friday night. You get that. That is a must-win game.
I agree.
Friday night. So. Oh, Dima. You saw a good high school game last night.
Yeah, I did. It was good. Petal Oak Grove, always a good rivalry. Complete game. Good game from
some Southern
Mr. Murphy.
Commits.
Yeah, Trey Barnes from Petal. He played last night. Looks really good. Kind of a four-tool player. So we'll see.
And you did tell me that Southern Miss has a big class coming in of what we think are very talented.
Yeah, I think what was it, like seven of the ten dozen or something like that, you know, coming in. They got a really good class coming in. I think, and I don't want to talk about offseason right now. You know, we have a whole summer to dive into the baseball offseason. But, you know, I think if you're looking in the transfer portal of what the needs are going into next year, I don't think pitching is the way you need to go.
No.
You know, most of this pitching staff should be back next year, barring any transfers. So really, in my mind, you need to get a first baseman and a center fielder. That'd be like my number one. And then
bats.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking more positionally than bats, but you're right.
No. Well, you want a first baseman and a center fielder that can hit and play.
Sure.
Like you found your second baseman this year.
Sure.
That kid's been good. So
yeah.
Anyway. All right, when we come back, very interesting guy, Patrick McGee. We jokingly refer to him as the other Patrick McGee.
Mm-hmm.
He's the smarter of the two. I think that's fair to say.
Sure.
And he is a statistical genius almost, and I'm going to ask him why when the Eagle Hour continues. As we head to break, don't forget about our good buddies, Mo Babe and Yay Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Great place for some weekend desserts. I want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri, play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Now I'm going to tell you about DBAT, and no, they do not sell Goodyear tires down at DBAT, but they can help you be the best at your sport. They can have a great physical training program for adults that are participating in any kind of sport, making you a lot better. Got great facilities, beautiful building, a state-of-the-art operation down there with batting cages, running tracks, you name it. They got it at DBAT. Check them out there on Hardy Street. And don't forget, keep it up with your health. That's the most important thing you can do. Get an annual physical. Eat right. Take good care of yourself. Stay in touch with your doctor. And remember that Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. Great friends, and really thrilled to have them sponsor our show, foresthealth.org. Patrick McGee, who we fondly refer to as the other Patrick McGee. This is not the Patrick McGee from the Gulf Coast. This is the smart Patrick McGee, who is a statistical genius, apparently, because he just predicts stuff right and left. And, hey, welcome back to the show, man. We're glad to have you on.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, I don't know if I'm much of a genius. I'm kind of just using some basic Excel operations and kind of letting it go from there. So, thank you.
You only got 63 of 64 teams correct last year.
Come on, so, Patrick. I mean, what's wrong with you?
Why didn't you get the last one right?
Yeah,
I mean, my gosh.
I had UConn in, and it ended up being Arizona State, so I was hella disappointed couldn't get that last one.
So. I feel like you're going to pick a perfect bracket or something next. You know, that'd be the first one ever. But talk to us a little bit about, you know, Southern Miss, of course, right now reeling a little bit, of course, as we've documented well on this show. But also what we've documented well on this show is still everything's kind of in front of them because of that non-conference, you know, schedule they had in the beginning of the season. Where do you have Southern Miss right now as far as hosting implications, and what would they have to do to kind of solidify themselves into that hosting discussion?
Yeah, I mean, right now I have them as a 2 seed in Oxford. And I guess the way that the 2 seeds this year are seeded in the past has just been straight geography. This year they're seeding the teams 1 through 32. So the teams that are 17 through 20 will be paired with 13 through 16. The teams that are 21 through 24 will be paired with 9 through 12 and so on. So there's a little bit of competitive balance paired with the geography in a way that there hasn't been in the past. So I have them kind of on the precipice of being a 1 seed but still outside. And I mean, last night that would have been a nice RPI win, and you weren't able to get that. But I mean, just kind of looking at the resume, I mean, their overall metrics still, for the most part, still look pretty solid. I mean, 15 RPI, number 10 strength of schedule, number 3 non-conference strength of schedule, number 1 non-conference RPI. I mean, their Q1 records is looking good as well. I mean, 7-61, 14-7 Q1 plus Q2. I think the real problem right now, when you look at their resume, is the record in the league. I mean, they're 8-7 in the league, tied for third in the Sun Belt. I mean, you just, teams that are just over 500 in the Sun Belt, those two, you're just not going to be able to consider strongly for a host. I mean, to get back in that conversation, they're really going to have to go on a tear late. I would think they would have to get to, you know, maybe 20, I mean, at least 20 league wins, maybe closer to that 21 mark, and, you know, hope the RPI kind of stays in that top 20 mark, and you'd be in consideration for a host, you know, depending on what other teams do around you, of course. Heading into that selection day.
I'm curious to ask about Coastal because, of course, Coastal, you know, without their two top pitchers, and it sounds like they're not even going to get one of them back, but Fluky is expected to come back. But just curious, you know, what have they done to kind of put themselves in position to be a top 8 seed?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've really been on a tear here lately, and I guess they have lost 2 in a row now. They lost that game last night. It was Wake Forest, and then they lost the game Sunday against Arkansas State. But, I mean, they've just been – I mean, they've taken care of business, and they've dominated in the league. They're 13-2 in the league. They had a top 10 RPI prior to last night. It's down to 11. But, I mean, just kind of looking historically, if you have a top 16 RPI and you win your league – you're a slam dunk host right now. You know, they're well ahead of everybody else in the Sun Belt. Their RPI is in the top 16. I mean, as far as top 8 goes, there's not a ton of room for error when you don't play in the SEC, ACC, Big 12, and Big 10, I guess, a little bit lesser extent. I mean, you have to run the table in a league like the Sun Belt to get a top 8. I mean, last year, Coastal went 26-4. Won the conference tournament, they didn't get a top 8. So they're going to have to kind of mirror what they did in the first half of the league season and the second half. But they do have a shot at a top 8.
All right, so here's my question. Keeping the hosting dream alive, 5 series left. I think only maybe one more midweek game, if I'm not mistaken. Tulane, I think.
Two.
The Southern Miss obviously has to win all 5 series. Am I correct? And would they have to sweep some? And even then, would they go into the tournament having to make a run in the tournament in order to get a host site?
I think at this point they have to win these remaining 5 series, and I would think they would have to sweep probably at least 2, maybe 3 of them. The thing with some of these teams they play coming down the stretch, winning two out of three will still drop you in RPI, especially some of these home series. You know, you look at ULM at home. ULM is better, but they're still 139 in RPI. Georgia Southern's 168 in RPI. Those are series where if you win, that's not going to help you a ton. If you lose, it's going to drop you. So you really need to sweep those series. I mean, you're looking at JMU. You could probably get by winning two out of three there just because it's on the road. It's probably the same with South. They're 77 in RPI, but you know, even someone like a Texas State, with the way our home games or home losses are weighted more in RPI, home wins are weighted less. So even someone like Texas State is a pretty good team in their top 40 RPI. If you win two out of three, you could drop just because of the way home losses are weighted. So I think definitely need at least two sweeps, maybe three, and to get to that kind of 21 or so win mark in the league.
I wanted to ask Patrick about other teams that are on the bubble in the Sun Belt, such as Troy, Louisiana, Texas State, kind of where you see them falling.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of interested to see that D1 had Texas State in their field. I did not. They were right on my bubble. I had them just outside of the field. I mean, in Texas State's case, it's not a bad resume. I mean, they're top 40 RPI, 9-6 in the league. Which is second place. So
they do play Southern this week and Coastal next week. Just wanted to point that out.
Yes, and that'll pretty much be their season. But they're only 1-4 against Q1 opponents, so I think that hurts them. But like you said, they play USM and Coastal both on the road these next 2 weeks. So, I mean, those are 6 Q1 games for them. So if they were to, even if they were to go 3-3 in those games, let's say they win one of those series and lose one of those series, mm-hmm. I mean, that would help their RPI just because all of those games are on the road against top 20 RPI teams. So it's not going to hurt them. Even if they lost all six, they probably wouldn't drop much. So I think if they were to go 3-3, that would boost their at-large profile. I think ULL, the problem with them is the league record. I mean, they're 6-9 in the league. RPI is good at 42. I mean, that's, you know, usually if you have a top 40 RPI, you'll receive strong consideration. But losing record in the Sun Belt, you're just not going to get an at-large that way. So they probably need to get to at least 16, maybe 17 wins and keep that RPI in the top 40 to have a shot in that large. And then Troy, I was interested to see D1 had them in their, I think it was four to watch, because they have a losing record overall. But their RPI is okay. It's at 65. But, I mean, that dropped, I mean, considerably last night because they lost a midweek game at UNO that hurt them. So, I mean, they have a losing record right now. So they probably have less room for error than ULL, even though their league record's better. They probably need to get to, 18 maybe league wins just because their RPI isn't as good and their overall record isn't as good. So
would you predict three Sun Belt teams or just Southern Miss and Coastal?
Right now I have two. I think there's a real possibility for three. I think Texas State can easily play their way in. I think it's going to be a little bit harder for Troy and ULL. But I think Coastal and USM for sure. I think Texas State has a real shot. And then, you could have somebody, come out of nowhere in Montgomery, and that would be another team. Well, so I think there's a couple different avenues between Texas State or, you could get, a team get hot in Montgomery, and that could be a third or a fourth team.
What about Arkansas State?
Arkansas State is interesting. I think they have a chance as well. 48 in the RPI, 7-8 in the league. So they're another team where the RPI is okay, but the league record needs to come up. Mm-hmm. And I guess, looking at them, I mean, they have a softer schedule coming down the stretch. I mean, they've already played USM and Coastal. They went 3-3 in those games. But if they were to get to 17 league wins and have an RPI around 40, they'd be on the bubble. I don't know if they would get in. It would kind of depend on what bid Steelers do in the conference tournaments. But they're another team. But RPI is in okay shape, not quite as good as Texas State or ULL. But they can get to 17 or so league wins. That historically, a RPI around 40, 45, and 17 league wins will at least put you in the discussion.
All right, Demo, what'd you say this man's record was last year in these predictions?
63 of 64.
All right, now if you want to stay on this show, you're gonna have to do better than that, Patrick. you're gonna have to clean up that one loss you had last year.
We're planning on bringing Patrick on every week from now until the tournament is selected. And then on selection Monday, we'll try to bring him on that show. And then we'll try to ridicule him for all the ones he got wrong.
There we go. Are you good with that, Patrick? Because we can be merciless with our ridiculing.
I can take it for sure.
Thanks, my friend. We enjoyed talking to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Patrick McGee, the other Patrick McGee, the smarter Patrick McGee.
They're so good. I mean, all that stuff. He just knows just like that.
How does he do it, dude?
It's crazy.
How does he do it? Hey, you looking for a good place for lunch? Well, there's nothing better than the Movie Star Restaurant. Monday through Friday, the buffet's 11 to 2. Friday nights, I eat there a lot on Friday night. Great place to eat, 5 to 8 o'clock on Friday night. And, of course, after church on Sunday, where else would you go? But the Movie Star Sunday Buffet, 25 years feeding the Pine Belt. You're going to love it if you haven't been there before. We'll be right back.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank our great guest today, the other Patrick McGee, actually just Patrick McGee, and of course, Travis Creel joins us every Wednesday, and we're grateful to him for that. All right, you got some gold, some silver lying around your house you want to get rid of? Got some old jewelry, perhaps, some old coins, and you need some green cash? Jewel Masters, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. All you need to know, Marty Vick's been buying gold and silver longer than anyone in the Pine Belt, so nobody knows the business better. It'll always be fast. It'll be confidential, and you'll walk out the door with top dollar cash in your pocket. So if you're in the market to sell some gold or jewelry, just don't think about anywhere else but Jewel Masters, and we're confident that you will be happy with that choice. And if you're working in your yard this weekend, it's MCS Home Center there on Highway 98 West out in Bellevue. That is a locally owned home improvement center with local folks from here in the Pine Belt working there. We hope you'll always do business with local businesses like the great folks, and they are truly good people at MCS Home Center, and we thank them very, very much for their support of our show. All right, Demon, no news and notes, but something very interesting about a Golden Eagle basketball player.
Yeah, they were reporting about Tyleek Weeks, obviously entered the transfer portal, and these are the colleges he's heard from so far. Memphis, Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, Auburn, TCU, VCU, Baylor, UCLA, South Carolina, Xavier, and UCF.
UCLA.
Like the Bruins.
Yeah. Like a really big-time basketball program, right? Yeah.
Weren't they in the championship about 3 or 4 years
ago? Yeah, they've been in a lot of championship games through the years.
Well, that number one tells you how good that player was, and number two tells you that anytime you get a good player coming through Southern Miss, I mean, it's just going to be enormously hard to keep anyone here.
What sort of money would you speculate is being thrown at this kid?
There's no telling.
Half a million, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so.
Yeah. It's still hard to believe.
It is.
It's still really hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean, you talked to Jay about it, yeah. You know, and yeah. He was like, Bob, listen, the amount of money that these kids are getting thrown at, he said it's honestly mind-boggling that, yeah. I mean, and we can't even throw up, we don't even have a prayer, really, against it.
Right. How's that construction going out there, do you know?
I just hit my head on the mic.
Thought I'd throw that question at you, Damon. Well,
when is Jeremy coming back on?
What are those kind of days?
Yeah, I can't play golf.
Well, I mean, good for him. I would love to have seen him stay. And Jay did say there are two players that were absolutely key to keep. And unfortunately, I don't really think they're going to be able to keep either one, do you?
No, they're not. They're both in the portal. But, you know, it's kind of what Scott Watkins was saying when we had him on the show. Was it yesterday or the day before? They all just run together now. But, you know, he was saying, listen, this isn't just exclusive to Southern Miss.
No.
It's to every Sun Belt team, right. Which is why, you know, when the preseason polls come out and all this stuff about the Sun Belt, it's like, you just don't know.
Right.
No, you really don't. Outside of baseball, you really just don't know.
And it's a whole new strategy for coaches at that level because the days of building your roster year to year to year are over. And you got to be the best at going out and finding a new roster every single year.
Correct.
And Jay has, you know, to his credit, I think Jay Ladner's done a pretty good job of that.
He has. I mean, nobody knew who Austin Crowley or Felipe Hase or even Tyleek Weeks was before they came here. So no. he has the eye for it. It's just whether or not they can piece it together for a whole season.
Yeah. All right, real quick, couple minutes left. Spring football game Saturday. I think that's why they moved the baseball game back from its normal 2 o'clock start till 3. Fans that want to go to spring football, what will they see, you think, Dima?
Well, I mean, they'll see a brand new football team. I don't know. I mean,
speaking of new teams,
yeah. I mean, I've seen them, you know, 7 or 8 times now, and I mean, I'm still trying to figure out who everybody is.
Yeah.
And so I think if you want to go, you know, it should. I think it's supposed to be pretty hot. Actually, mm-hmm. I checked the weather this weekend. I think we're getting into the 90s, be pretty warm out there. But go over for an hour or two, and then you know you can walk over to the Pete. So
that's how they set that up, I think, where you'd have time to go to both. And I guess it's always forever going to be the case, but you got to find out who your quarterback is going to be, and then we got some rather ominous predictions about the offensive line. So, I mean, you know, you can have a great quarterback, but you got to have some big guys up front to protect him. So, a lot of work for the new coach, and hopefully once the furor of the spring gets by him, we can get the coach on the show and talk to him some about what he sees and where the Golden Eagles have to go.
Yeah, that'd be great to get him on the show sometime in the summer. And it's really right around the corner. I mean, we're in mid-April, and Media Day in New Orleans is going to – what is that? That's 2-3 months from now. So
yeah, I think basketball starts back in a couple weeks.
Does it? Yeah, it does.
It's pretty much year-round.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to be on the road Friday down to our buddies at Ramey Motors. Dakota will be joining us as always. And it's always fun to go down there. Great great supporters of our program. And just Luke Johnson described it best one time. He said it's a grown man's Christmas store. And he's pretty much right about that. Everything from boats to lawnmowers to four-wheelers, they sell it. And so we look forward to that and always look forward to bringing Golden Eagle news to you.
Yes, and just shout out Ramey Motors just in case. If y'all wanted to leave out the fried chicken like y'all had last time.
Please do.
Leave it out.
Yes.
But we'll make sure and leave Kelly at home.
Yes, we're giving you a warning now that he's coming. So you might want to put all the cookies and fried chicken up. And mixed emotions. Kelly will be back tomorrow.
Southern Hopefully.
At the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.